We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The first thing I want to talk to you about, though, Senator, is the overall tone of the veteran community in Georgia. It's a state that has places like Fort Benning, Kings Bay. Being stationed in Jacksonville, I'm very familiar with Georgia.
I was, yes, sir,
for 13 years. How do you think the veteran community in Georgia, that is a large veteran community, considering those bases and the community that stays around them, how would you say things are going for veterans in your state of Georgia?
Well, you know, a couple years ago, I was very concerned when I got elected that the community was not in good shape. You know, veterans were not getting kind of medical care they needed. They weren't getting any kind of job referrals and outsourced help that they needed. I think a lot of progress has been made largely due to our VA committee up here. Johnny Eisen has worked tirelessly. Improvements have been made. We've still got a long way to go. Fort Stewart is a huge place for people to coming back and leaving the service. We have a large veteran community in my hometown, Robins Air Force Base, there in Warner Robins. And so the veteran community in Georgia is a vibrant, active, growing community. It's very important to our community because a lot of these veterans actually come back and enter in the workforce, obviously, just as you did. And that's a very strong reason why Georgia is one of the best places in the country in which to do business. So we're focused on it right now. We spend about $200 billion a year on our veterans. That's between the health care and the VA and also in retirement plans, and that compares about $700 billion a year for our entire military complex.
Of course, when we talk about the veteran community, the veterans themselves are only a part of that community. The families and the spouses specifically are another big part. The recent Defense Authorization Act, you were instrumental in getting some additions to that that basically take aim at helping our military spouses and our veteran spouses. Can you tell me why that was important for you to do and exactly what you wanted to include?
Oh, I grew up in one of those households, you know, and I remember how important it was. Look, deployment tempo is up dramatically because of the terrorism threat, because of the threats from Russia, because of the threats from China. We have five areas of threats across five domains. It's a very dangerous world out there. And our men and women in uniform have been asked to do more and more. And so when you go to Valdosta or Savannah or Albany, Columbus, Macon, Warner Robins, you see that these communities thrive because the families of these deployed men and women are given such support in those communities. It's number one objective. We have in every town there, in every base, we have a civilian support group. Last year, we pulled them all together, and we're looking at best practices and all that. One of the best practices that we have in Georgia is the support groups of the civilian communities in those towns for the spouses and families of deployed men and women in uniform.
One of the things that was listed in this provision for the veteran and military spouses is something that kind of surprised me as someone who, when I got out of the Navy, wasn't married. Spouses were barred from going through the training and the things that all of us go through, the transition programs. This aims to change that. Were you shocked at that wasn't allowed?
I didn't realize that was the case, honestly, when I got involved, because in business, obviously, families are critical. If you ask a family or an individual employee to relocate, you have to talk about their spouse, their children, the school, and all of that. And then the spouse's work environment. You know, today, most spouses work, particularly deployed soldiers. And we want to encourage that. So there are a couple of things that have been put in there. Number one is not only the support groups have been enhanced, but training has been encouraged for those spouses. Employment help is being developed right now to help interface with the civilian community to help those spouses find jobs and meaningful work. You know what it's like to get redeployed and relocated every 2 or 3 years. It's very difficult for the spouse to develop a career, maintain job employment. So this is a major part of what we're trying to focus on right now.
It is something that I think even the average veteran doesn't often think about, where every time we PCS, we go to a new duty station, we've got a job waiting for us. Our spouse oftentimes has to start over. If you have a spouse, how important do you think it is to make sure that not just the veteran and community and the politicians are aware of it, but that the public at large understands the sacrifices of the military and veteran spouses?
Well, you know, you're a veteran, and I will tell you this. The volunteer service that we have is the best in the history of the world. I've traveled the world as a member of the Armed Services Committee and before that a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, and, you know, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, you know, Southeast Asia. As you see where these men and women are deployed, you have a volunteer service where longevity is important. We have trained men and women. I mean, our special forces' average age is about 38. Mm-hmm. Now, these are veterans. These are people who know what they're doing, and that's true. The Air Force, every service, that we have men and women out there with a lot of experience, and part of that is the fact that more attention is being paid to the family unit. And look, we have a lot of work yet to do. We lose good men and women every year because of potential retirement plan inaccuracies and healthcare concerns, school concerns, employment concerns. The military has awakened to the fact that we don't just employ the person in uniform, we employ the entire family. And I think you see it manifested in the housing changes of the last decade. You see it in what we're trying to do right now in the healthcare. I've got a bill in right now with Senator Peters from Michigan to try to help a pilot program focus on these special injuries that are now the neurological injuries that we're seeing such an uptick with the IEDs and all that coming back from these war zones.
We've talked to so many people dealing with traumatic brain injuries. We talked to a Delta Force operator who suffered 9 of them while he was serving, and now the world is constantly spinning except when he's on a paddleboard. It's a pretty fascinating story. Talking about the families, something that also is an issue for families of those who have received a specific medal, a medal that's held in great esteem in the military community, for many of us as high as the Medal of Honor, speaking, of course, of the Purple Heart. We've talked to Zach Fike, Army veteran who heads up Purple Hearts Reunited, and he finds these medals at pawn shops, at tag sales, families that have no idea who they are, who they were presented to. You've introduced a bill that will actually make it illegal for secondhand retailers, essentially, to take part in moving Purple Heart medals around. Why was that important to you?
Well, I was shocked again that there's such a secondary market. It's an unofficial market. Actually, it's a black market in the Purple Heart medal. I mean, you know, when you ask a service person in military uniform to put their life on the line for us, I think if they're wounded in action or wounded in training or whatever, this is something that has to be honored. And when, you know, families, generations change and that sort of thing, what I found was a burgeoning black market in Purple Heart. And so we said, well, that's not right. We, you know, that diminishes the value to the people who actually served and actually sacrificed for that medal. So this meant a lot to me. And we put a bill in. It's now the law of the land that we have reduced the black or the secondary market for Purple Hearts. And I think it's a positive step to maintain the integrity and the honor that we want to give those people who were injured in the line of duty.
Some of those medals end up falling into, I suppose you could say, the wrong hands because the family is no longer there. The family dies off. They're misplaced. They're lost. Sometimes people fall on hard times, and if they can get a couple $100 for a military medal, they may sell it. There are certainly gray areas, I think. I don't think it's everyone looking to profit off of injury. What do you say to the people who say, well, what about the family who wants to sell their Purple Heart?
Well, the bill we put in does not preclude that. What it does do is it diminishes the demand in the secondary market so that the drive for theft is reduced. You know, there's documentary evidence that has to be provided if you want to sell your own. Look, no rule from the federal government can take care of every circumstance. And we certainly don't want to diminish the right of the Purple Heart recipient for what they do with that. But what we found was that generations later, due to families, as you say, dying off or moving away, not knowing what it was, theft, we saw a black market that was diminishing the integrity and the honor of that medal.
I think that's something that a lot of people can respect. And I know several Purple Heart recipients that we've had on the show, it's something near and dear to their hearts.
Well, it should be. I mean, they were wounded. Their lives were in jeopardy. This is one of, in my mind, one of the highest medals that we can offer somebody in thanks. Look, it's a medal, but I know several Purple Heart recipients. We have a couple in Congress, and to me, this is extremely important. I took a personal interest in that because I had no idea that we had that kind of secondary market going on.
Another thing that's near and dear specifically to a lot of Army veterans, including the producer of my morning show, Jake Hughes, who served on the Korean Peninsula, is everything that's taking place over there right now. Certainly a global hotspot, also a historically important place where we still have many missing in action Americans from the Korean War. There have been recent developments. There was the sit down with the president and Kim Jong-un talking about repatriating those remains. Some of that has happened, denuclearization. There's a lot going on over there. You recently traveled over to the DMZ. You saw it firsthand. You're in the Senate. What can you tell those Army veterans who are so invested in the peninsula about what you think of the situation currently?
Well, my father, after spending a couple years in Europe during World War II, spent 2 years in Korea. This is close to my heart. I've actually worked in South Korea pretty extensively early in my career. I just got back from a trip over there where we went to the DMZ. We met with General Brooks, the head of the Allied effort there in South Korea. We met with the head leadership in the political world of South Korean government. And what we're seeing is tremendous progress. President Trump has gotten the attention of Kim Jong-un, and they're now at the negotiating table. The ultimate goal is the total verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. I just had lunch yesterday with the Chinese ambassador to the United States. I made a later trip to China and met with several members of their Politburo, the premier of China, and several people like that. And we were assured personally that it's in their best, in China's best interest as well, to see the total denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. So I'm very hopeful. I want to tell your listeners, though, that it's going to take some time. I mean, this is 70 years in the coming, but it is amazing that in the last 6 months we've gone from talking about potential nuclear holocaust to now we're talking about denuclearization. We're talking about a potential treaty. Never had a peace treaty after the Korean War.
It's still at war.
Still technically at war. And so now we have an opportunity to bring peace to that peninsula, help economically, help North Korea regain their economic footing. And I think this is headed in the right direction, but I just want to caution everybody, this is a very difficult negotiation. It's going to take quite a bit of time to get to an agreement, and then it'll take time to actually verify the denuclearization.
It's certainly something that's near and dear to the current veterans' heart. Of course, we have many Korean War veterans who are still among us. There are fewer every day, unfortunately. Yep. Happens to us all. Yep. There are a lot of different opinions about it. Have you talked to many of the Korean War veterans in Georgia about what they feel about what's taking place on the peninsula?
Well, they feel, you know, vindicated after 70 years that finally there's some resolution. And when you finish fighting in a conflict like that and it's unresolved and you have... you don't really end up with a treaty or whatever. You kind of worry that the losses that we incurred were tremendous. You want to know that they were not wasted, that they weren't given in vain, and that something good has come out of this. And that's what I hear from the veterans in Georgia.
Of course, serving on the Armed Services Committee, traveling to places like Afghanistan. Anyone who comes to your office will see the pictures you proudly display of your time going to Kabul and everything, a country I'm very familiar with as well. What is the overarching message that you would like to give to the military and veteran community and their families out around the country and in your home state of Georgia?
There are four words. We have your back. Now, those are strong words. But in the last 3 years, I've worked very diligently with a lot of members to awaken America to the fact that the greatest threat to our national security is our own debt. We have $21 trillion in debt. We put our men and women in uniform at risk every day. We have things like continuing resolutions up here as part of the funding process, and that really causes a tremendous handcuff for our military. People in uniform need to know that people back here fully support them, honor them, and appreciate the sacrifices they're making. Like you've said, the deployment tempo is up dramatically. That puts pressure on not only the uniform member, but also their families and the community. So I just want the people in uniform to know how much we appreciate and love them. The best, and I mean the very best of America, is in uniform around the world, taking care of our business. And unfortunately, national security of the United States is a global effort. It really is. And the president's in Europe right now talking to our NATO allies about getting them to increase their spending so that we can reallocate some of our spending. We have your back.
Senator Perdue, thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
That's great. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.